Hey, good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show, where we talk about fishing, hunting, Ted Nugent, and the great outdoors. I'm sorry. Did I throw Ted Nugent in there? Yeah. Well, I have my own opinion about Ted Nugent, and maybe you do too, but he's over the top. I don't know if you heard or not. Maybe you did, maybe you didn't. Ted Nugent was embarrassed himself and conservatives and Republicans and gun owners again by calling our president a subhuman mongrel. Yeah, he did that. And then he was forced to apologize by, well, I don't expect it was because of conscience. I think it was probably because some people who had influence on Ted Nugent's life probably asked him or maybe told him to apologize. But, I've commented on the Nuge before, and my opinion is just having met the guy, having interviewed the guy, having experienced the famous Ted Nugent style exhibited to me personally. Yeah, I don't have tremendous respect for the guy, and you know, I think he is an embarrassment in a lot of ways. However, that's just me. So that's get that out of the way. Something else, some other news I regret to share with you, and I'm sorry I have to do so. Charles, the caller I call the most interesting man in the world, Dr. Charles Cooper, passed away yesterday. His viewing will be Monday, 2 to 4 and 6 to 8, and that will take place in the Marzullo Funeral Chapel, 6009 Harford Road. And then after the viewing on Monday, Dr. Cooper will be cremated on Tuesday. So we got that call yesterday. And I want to tell you, I did love hearing from Dr. Cooper over the years. Most gracious man. Did everything he said he did. And I still consider him the most interesting man in the world. So, look who showed up. It's all right. It's all right. Just had a guest walk into the studio here, a fellow by the name of, what's your name again? E.W. Grimes. E.W. is here to talk a little bit about the deer numbers that we've that we shared with you a couple weeks ago, the deer harvest in Maryland. And so, let's see, what else do I want to talk to you about? Oh, yeah. I don't know if you noticed this bill in the General Assembly, Senate bill by Senator Dyson from Southern Maryland, Senate bill number 0935, that calls for abolishing the Department of Natural Resources police force, transferring the duties and responsibilities of the Department of Natural Resources police force to the Department of State Police, specifying that the Department of State Police is responsible for the enforcement of the natural resources laws of the state, providing for the transfer of specified employees, functions, property, equipment, records, assets, and liabilities of the Natural Resources Police to the Department of State Police. In other words, taking all the people who are now NRP and putting them under the umbrella of the state police.
I thought they already was under the umbrella of the state police. I mean, when they take and catch poachers and stuff, don't they take them to the state police? I mean, I don't know what that's going to prove. If anything, I think that's just bureaucratic bull. I'm sorry.
You're entitled to your opinion.
I mean, that's just the way it is.
What do you think our listeners think of that?
Well, I would hope they would not support such a bill. I don't think that's we need our NRP people to do our NRP business and not share that responsibility. And that's what it is, responsibility.
Well, they already abandoned the NRP Air Force. You know, the people that did the flyovers and did the FLIR surveys of white-tailed deer, and that became a search and rescue mission. That was all that was. So there's no, you know, real aerial anti-poaching effort going on or anything like that, or air support as far as helicopters and airplanes and things like that that can go into an area and Senator Dyson is an interesting individual, person whom I do not have tremendous respect. Why am I talking about all these people I don't have respect for? Here we got Dr. Charles Cooper, worldwide traveler, who I have the ultimate respect for. He passed away. And I opened the show with Ted Nugent, Senator Dyson. I must have had a really bad week. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680 is our phone number. We're going to talk a little. Oh, by the way, you may have seen this, maybe not, EW. The department yesterday came out and said, hey, there's public meetings on the hunting regulations changes.
Oh, imagine that. They come out yesterday?
Yeah, they come out yesterday.
No, I haven't got it yet, but that's kind of why I'm here.
Well, wait a minute. The public meetings are Tuesday, March 4th at 7 at Chesapeake College in Y Mills, and Thursday, March 6th at Mountain Ridge High School in Frostburg.
That's the only two they have?
That's it. However, it says... citizens may comment at one of the meetings listed below or once the proposals are announced in early March by email, letter, fax, phone, and online forum that will be available on the DNR website.
Yes, they always have their website. They'll do the website, too. And that's a key component there, because if you can't make them meetings and voice your concerns to talk about things, then you get online and do it. But you have to get online and do it. You have to participate in this stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this is big, and unfortunately, just like the harvest numbers, they really didn't come out full-blown copies right before the stakeholders meeting.
Well,
is like jamming it down your throat there pretty quick.
Well, here's the deal. Let me read this again. Citizens may comment at one of the meetings listed below, March 4th and March 6th, once the proposals are announced in early March.
So they haven't finalized the exact proposals, what's going to be formatted at
by email, letter, fax, phone, and online form that will be available on the DNR website. And you click on the DNR website, and, of course, they're not there yet. Early March. That's another week. And then you have a couple days to look at them.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the meeting if you have any interest.
Yeah.
So we really have to talk about that.
Yeah, well, you know they don't give it really a whole lot of time to promote or discuss in general with a lot of the sportsmen out there. It's just like, you know, you kind of missed the boat. And this is what happens.
Fortunately, I published the proposals in the Maryland Hunting Quarter.
Well, there you go. There you go. I mean, you
so
got to
look. That's been out there for almost 2 weeks now. But
they're still subject to change.
Of course they're subject to change. Of course they're subject to change. I mean, these were the initial concepts that were floated at the stakeholders meeting. The stakeholders had a number of comments, some constructive and some
not so much
critical.
Yeah.
Some of those changes will be perhaps, included in the final, what they call a proposal. And then the proposal, once it goes through the public comment process, then becomes a final regulation.
Hold on. Not exactly. Because it has to go through the WAC committee.
Well, it also has to go to WAC.
So you, after you go through all your proposals,
all
your public stuff and all your showboating and all your let's talk about it and let's do it, all that, it comes down to a matter of
Wildlife Advisory Committee
to say yay, nay, or nothing. And they make that decision
that's true.
To do what they want to do there. So
that's true. That is true.
So that's a process most people don't even understand happens. And they say, right. We talked about something here at the stakeholders meetings, and we talked about the public hearings, and then all of a sudden it disappeared
It's interesting to me. It's interesting to me, that whole process, that members of the Wildlife Advisory Commission also sit on the stakeholders panel and comment as representatives of their various entities. There are three members there that are involved with organizations as stakeholders, hunting organizations.
Hunting and non-hunting as well.
Exactly.
I mean that's...
Yeah, they're involved with these organizations, mm-hmm. and they sit there as stakeholders and comment and add their two cents or you know, comments or criticisms or whatever mm-hmm. it might be. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the day, those three people also sit on the panel that make the ultimate decision.
That's correct.
Now, I'm not sure.
How do you get to be on the Wildlife Advisory Committee? Is that voted on or something?
You have to apply, and I believe it's ultimately up to the secretary.
Okay. Yeah. I wasn't sure what that process exactly consisted of.
I've applied.
Have you?
Yeah. I've been rejected for some of the folks that are on there now.
For real?
Well, yeah.
Well, I don't know why. You're such a nice guy.
Hey, look.
You know,
all my listeners know
that. You have to.
Don't y'all know that? Come on, stick up for your host here, will you? 922-6680. Hurry up.
You know, it's funny because some of those individuals and some of the others that participated in the process have learned very well when to talk and when not to talk. And very well to say what needs to be said in a timely manner to get their constituents or whoever they're talking to, whichever group it may be at the time, to kind of, this is that.
I will never forget the meeting 2 years ago when representatives of the Western Division, Western Group, simply said, well, I think more people in Western Maryland ought to be considered in the bear lottery.
Yes.
One sentence turned into, DNR announces that 25% of the bear lottery will be given to people who apply in Region A. Since, you know, hey, that's where the bears are. They live there. They got to deal with them. So they have a better than even chance of, you know, getting picked. I'm still upset about that.
Hey, I think it's what they call politics.
Well, you know, there shouldn't be that in that process.
Well, you know,
but I mean,
it is what it is.
It was an off the cuff remark. I mean, it was,
but yet it got down the chain.
Right in that chain.
Yeah.
Yeah. And nobody had, you know, they didn't put it out there as a concept,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
but as an off-the-cuff remark. Oh, hey. Well, so-and-so said, you know, so-and-so said he thinks it's a you know.
Well, there you go. I mean, input could waver into it. And that's why it's important, very important for listeners and to participate in the process.
Absolutely.
Whenever you can, because that one little statement could actually set a ball rolling down the hill that says,
Absolutely.
hey, this ain't a bad idea.
Absolutely.
So
think about this. Okay, here we are, February 22nd.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the comments are going to be available on the website in early March. Next Saturday is the 1st. It's not going to be that day.
That's correct.
Next Sunday is the 2nd. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be that day.
Right. So you're going to have a day to prepare.
So it's going to be March 3rd,
mm-hmm.
and then one day later, the closest public meeting at Chesapeake College.
Mm.
And then if you really want to go into a public meeting, then you got to drive to Frostburg on a Wednesday.
Oh, it's a beautiful drive, though. Especially this time of year. I actually live towards that way. That's why I'm kind of partial to that stuff.
You live in Carroll County. What do you mean you live towards Frostburg?
I mean, you just go right across Hagerstown. It's a quick little trip. You know, it's about an hour and a couple minutes away in good weather. You know, I think they have a front coming in Tuesday.
That's correct. They do.
I mean,
yeah.
There is a weather event. That could be turning from to a day trip to a night trip.
You never know.
Yeah, yeah. Frostburg's got some great motels. I mean, old classic motels and stuff.
We'll talk a little bit about the proposals here, but right now I have to tell the folks about some other stuff. So hang on there, E.W. Grimes, affiliated with the Quality Deer Management Association. You guys got a banquet coming up pretty soon.
Yes, we do. All right. Yes, we do.
Hey, it's time for the 2014 Maryland Fishing Challenge. You could win great prizes, like the grand prize boat, motor, and trailer rig from Bass Pro Shop, or thousands in tackle from Bill's Outdoor Center, and prizes from sponsors like the World Fishing Network and Under Armour, too. New this year is an invasive species award for those catching blue catfish, flathead catfish, and northern steakheads. Snakeheads. Did I say steakheads?
I don't think you did.
I was thinking about...
I'm thinking T-bone.
I'm thinking stakeholders.
Uh-huh. I am, too.
Yeah. How come if we're stakeholders, they served us pizza?
Actually, they're on a budget. I don't know what...
From now through Labor Day, all you have to do is go fishing. If you're lucky enough to catch a Maryland citation-sized fish or crab and certify your catch, you're in. It's that easy. There are more than 60 species of fish in freshwater, the tidal rivers, the Chesapeake Bay, and on the Atlantic coast to qualify. So stop by your local fishing citation center or check the fishing rule book, or you can visit the website, www.dnr.maryland.gov, for all the details in the 2014 Maryland Fishing Challenge and the Angler Award Program. That's www.dnr.maryland.gov. Are you feeling lucky? This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex are proud to provide outstanding customer service just like their number one rated Linex Spray-On Bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands, tools, and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at the local car wash. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and last longer. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. And Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did, with a Linex Spray-On Bedliner. W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
On the next Sean and Frank, more on Obama's news police and will Ravens running back Ray Rice surface Monday morning 6 to 9 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
I'm on a first name basis at the tackle shop. I got a charge account running up nonstop. They ought to give me my own parking spot. I can't fit another plug in my tackle box. It's always under construction for all my weapons of mass destruction. I got buds, baits, and Zara spooks, pumpkin seeds, zoom flukes, booyah, crawfish jigs. I got a 7-foot flipping stick, all the soft plastics to hook one on a Texas rig. Wife stays on me, and my banker just told me that he's working on a tax deduction for all the money I'm dropping on my weapons of mass destruction.
All right. I think with EW here, I think we need to think about playing Buck Fever next break. What do you think? I mean, do we have any more sponsors for this upcoming hour? Okay. All right. It's a little light this time of year, isn't it, brother? mercy. Well, why are you here?
Well, we got a banquet coming up.
Yeah.
And we really like to have some support. And one of the things, you know, what? Why do you want to support QDMA? I mean, that's, and I'm going to give you some reasons. You know,
really?
We talked about.
All right, well, let me ask a question then. When's the banquet?
The banquet is March 8th.
Where is it?
It is at the VFW in Westminster.
Talk into your microphone.
It's the VFW in Westminster, and the doors open at 5 p.m.
Okay.
Dinner at 6.
That's a Saturday, right?
And that's a Saturday night. We'll have lots of games and prizes. It's a fundraiser.
Yeah.
We need money to do things that we do. And it's part of the organizational criteria as well.
Well, I think the listeners will trust me. And if I tell them I support the Quality Deer Management Association, it's an organization worthy of support. Okay.
Yeah, we definitely don't want to get on your bad list. We already heard you talk about the politicians.
Who, Ted Nugent? Did I ever tell you what happened with Ted Nugent?
No, but it's got to be a good story.
It is a good story. He's a tall man.
He is tall.
He was doing a concert here in Maryland, and he was staying in Columbia, and I got a call from an NRA representative.
Mm-hmm.
And said, we're having a roundtable discussion with Ted Nugent. Okay. Come and ask him any question you want to ask him. And, you know, Ted will respond. You can do a good story about it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's cool. So I go to this hotel in Columbia, and there were several of us there, and maybe 10 or 12 people in the room all together. And Ted's there, you know, and he's being his typical self. And I ask him a question about his style. You know, he's very blunt.
Yeah.
You know, he's blunt, and that's okay.
Off the cuff.
Blunt, but, you know, and I said, you know, there's a lot of people that don't appreciate that kind of style, so to speak. And, you know, conversation led to something like that, and Mr. Nugent was not happy with the question. So in his effort to intimidate me, he stood up. And I'm sitting in a chair. And he stood up, and he hovered over me and began to speak down to me. Well,
that went over big, didn't it?
I expected, since I was the lowly reporter and he was the great, you know, shock rocker and gun activist, that I was to be cowed into shutting up. And I think Mr. Nugent was just as surprised as other people in the room when I stood up under his chin and looked him in the face.
Did you have to get on a chair?
No.
Okay, because you are a little short, you know.
Easy, brother.
Did you get pictures? That ought to be good.
I wish I would have gotten a picture of that. But Mr. Nugent realized that I wasn't going to back down,
That's right.
He didn't back down.
That's just right.
Ended the conversation.
Yeah.
But my point was made.
Yes. Yeah.
So, but in other instances, in other occasions, he's been very accommodating and nice guy. He helped us promote the early venison donation program, Hunter's Harvest Share, way back when. Did a little video for us. And so I've had occasion to run across Mr. Nugent on a couple of occasions. But he got busted for poaching in Alaska. He got busted for poaching in California. In Alaska, he wounded a black bear, I believe a black bear, and then continued his pursuit of black bear, which that is considered a harvest if you wound one and do not bring it to bag take it into possession. In California, where spike bucks are illegal, Mr. Nugent shot a spike buck with his bow and arrow on camera.
Hmm. Didn't know about that one.
Yeah. So he's not allowed to hunt in Alaska, and he's not allowed to hunt in California for a certain amount of time. That's why you see him hunting on his own property in Michigan and Texas on the TV shows.
Yeah.
Okay. Got it?
Got it. Got it.
All right. I don't know if he supports QDMA or not. He seems to practice it to some degree.
Man, I tell you what. You know, that now you're starting to sound like some of the stakeholders. Yo, you know, we're doing QDM. We're planting, we're putting the salt lick out and putting corn out, and that's QDMA. I mean, we're practicing.
All right.
Why should we support QDMA?
Well, you know,
should the average deer hunter, who's always searching for a property or has a lease that, you know, there's a property that he's got on with 10 or 12 other guys. You know, he's got a landowner. He's got permission to hunt on a farm that he has no control over.
Yes.
Why should we support QDMA?
Well, you know, you have to look at results and non-results. And what we do, and this, I think Kip Adams said it best several years ago at a deer summit. That
he's the top biologist guy, right?
Yeah, he's like number two guy in QDMA. He started out at the grassroots level and from Pennsylvania. He's a nice guy, and he's become one of the – he was a Northeast Regional Director now for QDMA. But anyhow, he said it best. He said, we're watchdogs. And what do you mean by watchdogs? We actually keep track of results, and that's what one of the big things that we do in, right here in Maryland. You know, we're the only organization that actually collects bio data for the state, voluntarily for the state.
I know, and when you say that bio data, you collect it.
Yes. They use that, Brian Eiler and the Deer Project, and they use those statistics in their management-making decisions.
Well, let's talk about what bio data is.
Okay.
Okay. Biodata is such things as fetus surveys.
That's correct.
On managed hunts.
That's correct.
Starting, some of the folks are on or attend sharpshooting programs.
That's
or
correct.
Management hunts, or these contractors that do managed hunts on public lands and private lands. And your team will go out and collect the data, particularly on fetus studies.
We get body weight of the deer.
Right.
The sex of the deer.
Right.
We actually do the age of the deer.
Right.
And then we also do, if they have fetuses in them, the females and the fetus, we actually remove the fetuses, physically measure them, and then we can age the fetuses to bring them back to when they was conceived they would have been.
Age and sex of fetuses.
The fetuses as well. Yeah.
So that says, Let's say you're on Soldier's Delight, and you're collecting the data on Soldier's Delight, which is local here. Everybody knows where Soldier's Delight is. Everybody knows there's a managed hunt on Soldier's Delight. All right, so they killed 50 some deer the first day. Hopefully, most of them were antlerless deer, which is the goal. And I think 14.
Well, that's actually the procedure.
Yeah,
it's the target. It's not just opening the deer hunting. And they actually have an. I'm going to hit on that a little bit later on.
Okay,
that's
the target.
Yeah,
that's the goal, is to harvest the antlerless deer.
And, and there's a reason for antlerless deer, and that's because of population.
Of course. Okay.
And this is where our data comes into play.
So let's say there's 50 deer. And 47 of them are does, female does. Now this occurs in January. So you can track by the size of the fetus back. I heard that one of those deer was like 12 years old and was carrying triplet fawns.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean,
and that's just one. But,
that's just one, yeah.
But most of them fall into that, you know, 1.5, 2.5, 3.5-year-old category.
That's right.
So, okay, you look at the fetus and you say, okay, this deer, tracking this fetus by size and back, you can determine the week, let's say that deer was
conceived
or bred in
the rut. It's the rut.
And well, whether that was October 15th, October 28th, November 4th.
That's correct.
Or, you know, or within a day or two of that, or later. Maybe it was a later fawn in you know, December 1st.
It's called a bell chart.
Yeah.
And actually, that you can track, and this is good for hunters, you can track that when that peak of the rut or the prime time of the rut is based on the deer and throughout the state.
Yeah. That survey is certainly a helpful tool in that. So, I mean, this is just some of the things that you guys do.
That's correct.
You speak to groups about the health of the deer herd.
Yep.
You write articles about balance of the herd. I recall one that we've been publishing, I think, that got a lot of attention was the one in Region A, Garrett, Allegheny, Western Washington.
Well, we did a whole series on the whole series across the state and broke it up into parcels. I actually put, you know, we put the article together and try to target the smaller and break the state down into smaller areas. We had region, you know, Western Maryland. We had the center section of Maryland. We had the shore, and we're currently still finishing up on the Southern Maryland.
Southern Maryland will be the next issue. Yeah,
and we tried to target, and we what we did is we take that local data.
Right.
Over the years, and then we show, you know, most hunters, you know, and sportsmen go out in their own little honey hole here and there.
Yeah.
And don't really realize exactly what's going on in the big picture throughout the state. I mean, and that's why you kind of miss out on that. Hands on, I'm a bow hunter by heart.
Right.
And actually, you know, I have my three or four places in the middle of the state that I hunt on, and I have my opinions about them as well.
Sure.
But you have to look at the bigger picture, and that's what QDMA does. Maryland State Chapter does for you is we look at everything, and we try to put it in a bridge information where you're not a biologist, but you're the regular guy, and you want to know what's going on throughout the state. We try to simplify it and make it easy to understand, because these stakeholder stuff and these regulations will affect your hunting and your little honey hole eventually.
I had a very short but sweet conversation yesterday with a deer manager, not a state biologist or anybody associated with the Department of Natural Resources, and said, I'd like you to put together a list of things that deer hunters need to know about the health of the herd, about quality deer management or about biology or whatever you would like to put out there that you think hunters should know when talking to other hunters, like you're doing right now, to bring them knowledge, to bring them up to speed, to get them interested, or to somebody who may not agree with hunting, where you could say, your neighbor that feeds deer in his backyard just to see them is influencing the entire neighborhood, because those deer may feed on his property, but they may bed somewhere else, like on your property, which would open your property up to deer damage on your shrubs and lawn and potential for Lyme disease and other things that could happen. So, you know, it's very important for people to understand the whole concept, the whole picture, the whole thing about deer and deer management and even the biology of white-tailed deer, what it's all about. So,
and the necessity of it.
And the value of hunting.
That's
recreational
correct.
Hunting.
Absolutely.
You know, and
absolutely.
What that does.
That's
so
amazing.
You know, you're friends with the folks at PETA, the people for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. A Pennsylvania teenager is lucky to be alive after surviving a bear attack near her family home in Lock Haven, Pennsylvania. Camille Bombay is her name. 18 years old. She was deer hunting when a mother black bear charged her, mauling her arms and face. Her stepfather was able to scare off the bear only after shooting his rifle in the air. He didn't kill the bear. He shot it in the air. Okay. If that wasn't enough for the young woman to deal with upon returning home from the hospital while still recovering from her wounds, she received a letter from the desk of Alicia Wampner. Wampner, Wompner, a representative for PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, encouraging the victim of the bear attack to use the harrowing ordeal as a chance to reflect on the frightening and painful experience that hunters set out to impose on animals. Wampner's drivel went so far as to categorize the attack as a good opportunity.
Oh, my gosh.
Bombay's mother, Krista Corder, said, although it will be a long healing process for her, Camille has hunted all her life and has not ruled out continuing to do so.
Unbelievable.
Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway exit number 9. You know, they got 10,000 rounds of 223 ammo in the other day. They bagged it and boxed it, and it's ready to go for for sale for those of you who have been looking for .223 ammo. And that's just an aside, because their wonderful sale starts February 28th. That is this coming Friday. So they encourage you to take the old crappy line off your reels and bring in the empty spools so they can fill them with fresh monofilament at half price. A premium quality line. Berkeley, Strand, all those. Now, Power Pro is not included in that, unfortunately. But that is a great deal to get your line, your spools filled for half price. Now, not only that, they've got some great rods and reels on sale. They've got trolling rods, the combos, starting at $79.95. These are rods with a roller tip, a reel, and spooled with line, starting at just $79.95. All their Fluger reels are on sale. The Penn GTI 330s trolling reels start at $89.95, and they're not making them anymore, by the way, just so you know. They've made them for a long, long time. So the Sargus spinning reels start at $49.95. These are great Penn reel specials. The Ugly Stick rods are all on sale. For those of you who don't really care what your rod looks like, the Ugly Sticks are all on sale. Somebody accused me of getting hit by one of those a while back.
Yeah, I've heard that story.
Have you? Yeah, okay. Well, and, of course, check out their selection of St. Croix rods as well. They've got everything for fishing licenses, rod and reel repairs, you name it. Make sure you stop by Clyde Sport Shop. Call their 24-hour fishing hotline, 410-247-FISH, 410-247-3474. They are open 7 days a week. They take all major credit cards. Clyde's Sports Shop. 242-6108, 242-6108. Website is ClydeSports.com.
This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie are proud to provide outstanding customer service, just like their number one rated Linex Spray-On Bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands and tools and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex at Glen Burnie now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and lasts longer. Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex Spray-On Bedliner. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
This is Mark Levin inviting you to join me every weeknight from 7 to 9 with the most powerful names in talk. Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Your hands start shaking. Your heart gets to pumping. Your knees get to knocking. And your mind starts racing.
It's a feeling like you never felt before. Have you coming back for more? Buck fever, gonna get you, boy. Buck fever, have you praying to the Lord. That rack, that grunt, that stare, that stomp will make you a believer. And buck fever.
Ha. All right, never got that, right?
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah, I know.
I got it.
All right, we got Ricky on the line. I want to tell folks that if they're looking for the Maryland Hunting Quarterly, you can always see it online, Maryland Hunting Quarterly, all spelled out, .com, and read the entire thing there. Or, you know, you can stop by one of our advertisers. Clyde Sports Shop is one of our sponsors. Anglers, Chesapeake Outdoors, Tochterman's, downtown, you know, if you're looking for it downtown. And, you know, around the Beltway. But if you go online first, look, and then see the magazine, go to any of the advertisers, and you should be able to pick it up. Let's talk to Ricky in Arbutus. Good morning, Ricky. How you doing?
How you doing, Alan?
Good, buddy. What's up?
See, now you got me started again. Now, you just like you get me started when you mention O'Malley and gun control.
Yeah.
I can't wait to call you. You know that.
I understand.
And then now you got me started with this PETA thing.
Yeah.
People are nuts.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm gonna give you four like little quick story about these. I do here and there sometimes guest appearances on one of the radio shows.
Yeah.
So I was there and these PETA people was invited there. This happened right after that whole pit bull thing.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. And there was a pit bull who chewed off a little girl's face. Down
I remember.
There.
Yeah.
Right. So this lady named Stephanie from PETA came there, and there was a couple other people. And these people literally was for the pit bull.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
There was for those two pit bulls instead for the little girl whose face got chewed off.
I know. That's the way they are. They're mentally deficient in some degree.
Their thing was that owner didn't treat him right. He treated him so badly. That's why they went that way. And it's little girl's fault why she was even near the fence.
Yeah, right. I know.
And I had an argument with them about this, but about half, I say, you know what? You guys are nuts. You guys are nuts. I mean, there's no cure for you. There's no cure for these people.
Yeah, well, you see, you got to understand it's a religion there, Ricky.
Yeah, it is.
It's a cult.
It is. They're true believers. I mean, seriously, they are true believers.
Yeah. No, they are, because they think that humans should not be on the planet. Only animals should be on the planet. That is their mentality.
That's true. That's true.
But animal can chew off another animal and tear it apart. That's okay.
Sure.
Yeah, that's okay. That's not a problem for them.
Oh, that's nature. Yeah, I understand. Yeah. Now, are you a hunter, Ricky? You're a gun owner.
I am, of course, definitely.
But you're not a hunter, if I remember.
I'm not a hunter because I just never had any family member
any
friends. I would love to find out about it. I have nothing against it. But
right.
I just never had any. I've been trying to get in a couple of clubs or something, whatever.
Yeah.
But okay. Timing didn't work out for me.
I hear you. All right, my friend, I appreciate the call.
No problem, man.
Thanks, Ricky. Bye-bye. You know, I still can't believe we don't have any calls on this abolishing natural resource police and transferring everything to the state police. Does this thing have a shot, do you think, in the General Assembly?
Well, you know, if
the hearing's coming up here on the 25th, which is what day is that? Tuesday, I believe.
See, these are the kind of little bills and stuff like that that get the back door where you have interacting. Well, let me trade you off this vote for that vote.
Oh, I know. That happens.
And it gets done before you even realize it's done.
Uh-huh.
And it can be hurtful.
Well, you see, there's nobody standing up for hunters and sportsmen in Annapolis right now.
Well, that's shocking. And
No one.
I didn't know that.
After all the effort and all the successes and the gains in the last 12 years,
yep.
We're talking Sunday hunting, we're talking the bear season,
yep.
We're talking yellow perch management, we're talking menhaden cap, we're talking funding for the Maryland Aquatic Reef Initiative. All that is efforts of sportsmen and people who spoke for sportsmen.
We need
They're
that.
Not there.
We need that. We need to have
that. Of course they need that.
We have to have it. Because it's a full-time job, literally, to keep track of what's going on in Annapolis. I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean,
right.
You know, you have to have a group, and we would strongly support a group to participate in. But, you know, like I say, it takes a lot of time, a lot of effort.
You need somebody that knows policy.
Exactly.
You need somebody that knows how to talk to members of the General Assembly, senators and representatives. You need somebody who can read the bills, interpret the bills, and also help craft legislation for sportsmen.
That's correct. Absolutely.
And that person, for that skill set, needs to be compensated.
That's correct. It's, like I say, it's a full-time job.
And there is
unbelievable.
And the sportsman's community is unwilling to step up and pay that person to do that. Trust me. Will in Westminster, how are you, sir?
Good, sir. How are you?
I'm good. What's up?
I just wanted to talk about the QDMA there. I guess you could say I'm that average hunter that you guys are talking about that hops from, you know, looks for property to property.
Right.
And I was involved in a property with a friend of mine. We were involved in it for about 10 years. We since lost it because it was sold.
Yeah.
But this is going back probably 12 years ago when we started, and we both said 8 points or better. It works. It took a while for it to kick in, but the people that had the property prior to us didn't practice any
browning down.
Yep, everything was browning down. Towards the end, we were able to harvest very, very nice deer, and actually was able to get a Pope and Young off the property.
There you go.
Now, did you actually harvest some does along with that? Because part of that QDM thing is you know, keeping your population in check as well. So,
yes.
So you actually did. So you set your goals. We call them co-ops.
We did very big. We would only shoot harvest very large does.
Adult does. There you go.
Yep.
Yes.
And we were actually the property wasn't very far from I guess the Sweet Air hunt that you guys would conduct, or and it was not.
Well, now QDMA doesn't conduct the hunt.
They just
monitor the biological data. That's all.
Yep. To stay
as a volunteer, and then that information is shared with the state.
We also had a scenario where one year I had it was a small six walk up on me. He only had three legs, and I actually thought he was wounded, but because he only had three legs, I let him walk. It looked like he was fine. And the following year, he was harvested. He was actually 11 points.
That's correct.
It works.
Yes.
I mean, it really works. But I think a lot of it is education. A lot of people don't understand what, I guess, the benefits, or they don't really see it. You know, these guys, like you said, they're average hunters. They hop from property to property. But I think a lot of it's education. It's a lot of them understand that. I think maybe more people would grasp it.
That's why we need your support to come to the banquet and help us out with that stuff. You know, we even at the stakeholders, we actually was asked, you know, we just said exactly what you just said there. We need an educational program. Hey, guess what? You got it. MarylandQDMA.com. Maryland spelled out QDMA.com. We keep everything, and it ties you into the national office with harvest data and what's going on in Maryland on the Maryland website. But, you know, the lack of education is huge. And
right.
It's so easy to get. You have, you know, the Hunting Quarterly has articles all the time in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the website has it and all that. And that's why we need support to keep our organization going, is to keep that loop between the regular guy and the politicians and the biologists first and then the politicians, because I'm not big on politics. But yeah, that's right. But we have to deal with that. I mean,
right.
We really do. We need our input in Annapolis, and we need to keep control or have an element
there.
There is none at this time.
Did you just hear me say there is none?
I did.
Did you hear me say that nobody speaks for hunters or fishermen in Maryland?
I can't believe it.
In the General Assembly right now.
Somebody,
no one.
We're going to have to step up. Somebody's got to step up. We're going to do something.
Okay.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
I don't know. Let's come up with a plan.
What kind of plan?
Well, first we got to get involved. And the first step is to get the regular guys to kind of come to events and show some support.
How do you do that?
What? I don't know. I'm lost for words.
How do you do that, Will? I'm one voice here on the radio 2 hours a week, Saturday morning, 5 to 7, when half the population is still asleep. At least half.
Yeah.
Okay. I publish a magazine that goes out statewide. I continually say, what do you think? We'd like to hear your comments. Here's my email address. Here's my mailing address.
Got to get involved. The regular guys have got to get involved.
We're going to lose it all, fellas. I'm just going to tell you, you're going to lose it all.
Oh, Word of mouth helps too, you'll
still be able to help. You'll still.
Yes.
What is this, Will?
Yeah.
What is this program, word of mouth?
I share
it with you. You call your buddies in your hunting club. Okay? Yep. All right. So, what do you suggest? I've got some ideas. I'm more than glad to share them with you anytime. Nobody's interested.
You have to restart spark the interest that we that the
so groups, what resparks that taking it all away what are we
it will literally take and I believe it's the same way with the regulation stuff it will take something happen to be able to wake up something's got to be
like
done.
What?
Well, what about crossing boundaries with because like I belong to Ducks Unlimited and WTF. They obviously put in a lot into the habitat.
I'm going to tell you this, Will. Okay. I went to work for a company one time, and I was interacting with people in corporate. And my boss was getting messages from corporate, what's going on with this guy? And my boss called me aside one day, and he said, look, he said, you're interacting with folks at corporate. And he said, you're new. You don't know how this works. I said, okay, what? How does it work? Tell me how it works. He said, at corporate, everybody has a role. And in that role, everybody has their own tree. And you don't ask dog A to pee on dog B's tree.
Right.
And that's where we are with the various conservation groups. And I'm not critical. I'm a member of most of them. But the Ducks Unlimited people aren't going to support the trappers. And the trappers aren't going to support the bow hunters. And the bow hunters aren't going to support the firearms people. And the firearms people aren't going to support the trappers. And the trappers aren't, you know, it's a big, everybody's in it for their own little self-interest.
Right.
That's what it's all about. And that's the barrier we need to break down.
That's correct. Agree.
100%. And you see it at the stakeholder meeting.
You do.
Well, we support this. Well, we don't support that. Well,
or they don't say anything at all.
Or we support this. Well, we can't comment on